Yo, 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 what up, and Merry Christmas. This is the Kobe Told Me Podcast. Yo, whenever I want to, even on Christmas Day, deep dive with the Mac himself, where I get to amplify my movie reviews for your listening pleasure. Would you please consider giving your boy a follow? I'm on all the socials at Kobe Told Me on Twitter and Instagram, and sometimes I'm on Facebook at Kobe Mac. Welcome, welcome, welcome back. Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas. Feliz Navidad. This is episode 15, a newbie but a throwback. A film that went from book to movie to musical to now movie musical, and most certainly can call your black card into question and makes for excellent trivia if you ask black folks who made the original Color Purple. Oh man, it feels so interesting to embrace a film that is prominently at like the core of being a black kid growing up, you know, 80s baby, 90s kid, and I can't count how many times I've watched The Color Purple in full. I've definitely seen it at least 100 times in parts, because it was just always on. It was always one of those films, it's just like, yo, why should I be watching this? This is so sad. So when I heard that The Color Purple was going to be made into a movie musical, I was like, wait, why? And then I realized that it was already a musical, you know, back in the early 2000s, and then again back in the like 2015 revival. And in my mind, it was so hard to comprehend trying to extrapolate any sense of joy from that film to what happens to Silly and Sophia. And y'all want to sing and dance to this? But color me surprised. The purple is winning. Black is beautiful. And damn, did I enjoy this. A decade-spanning tale of love and resilience and of one woman's journey to independence, Silly faces many hardships in her life, but ultimately finds extraordinary strength and hope in the unbreakable bonds of sisterhood. The Kobe Cheat Codes were in on this one. I'm a musical theater kid. You know, I studied at Lincoln Center Theater when I was a teenager, at Youth Theater Interactions, you know, starting in middle school and all throughout high school. I've done hundreds of shows, and music at its core, married to drama, and making it cinematic, yo, that's everything that your boy could love. And the music of what's driving the story and these characters, it's hitting. And I'm here. Fantasia Barrino's showstopper performance that she enjoyed on Broadway and inside this film, it's raucous, and it's everything that you could hope for. You get the little peaks of it inside of the trailer, but feeling it, hearing it, connecting with it in person at a theater, wow. It's one of those things where it's hard not to well up with just pride for what Fantasia, the person, has gone through to her life and how she's connected that to Seeley, and to know what we have always known Seeley with the great rendition from the great Whoopi Goldberg back in the 80s, and then to see the baton figuratively and literally handed in this film is black magic. And the song is great. A lot of the songs are great. I mean, Fantasia Barrino, I was definitely a little skeptical at first, but knowing that she did a great job on stage, I was going to be interested to see how she would translate this to the screen. And I think with the help of the director, Blitz, I think it's a really good job well done. But for real, like, I enjoyed it. I'm Here is strong. Hell No by Danielle Brooks. Like, the song is good, but I think it's what Danielle Brooks brings to the character, that spirit that elevates the song to something great. And I think it's going to ultimately get her an Oscar nom. I'm not too sure of the win, because Divine Joy Randolph got something to say. But Danielle Brooks, she's cleaning up in a lot of respective awards bodies. And I think that this is her time. I hope this is going to be the true platform that just like propels her to even greater heights. And a woman who is no stranger to great heights is Taraji P. Henson, who now has really kind of gone on an interesting turn with the marketing and the campaign for this film, because I think it's mirroring life in a lot of ways, where Taraji's star was super bright and then it dimmed. And I guess if you kind of correlate that to Suge Avery with Inside the Story, it's eerily similar. And I think that she's finding herself, and maybe that's through faith, or maybe it's going to be something different for Taraji, but damn, Push the Button, fun, fun, fun. She actually has a couple of songs within here that, like, makes me really think differently of Suge Avery. I think the delightful way that they play with the romance between Cilly and Suge is definitely different than what the original was, where it didn't want to go too deep, but this also finds a really playful way not to dance around it, because I think it's there and I think it's palpable, and I think that's the chemistry between the two. And when you're talking chemistry, when Suge and Cilly, aka when Taraji and Fantasia bring down the house, and What About Love, woo, I swear I wish I could hit that. What About Love? Oh, I can't. Just, I love the fact that in this music, it's like you enjoy it in real time in the film, and it makes you want to go ahead and go to YouTube and relive it all over again. She Be Mine with Felicia Pearl and Bassi, who played young Cilly. Like, man, I would say that's probably one of the more striking performances because of what's going on with inside the song and the text and behind visually. I think Blitz does a great job at choreographing a deeply emotional song. And it is eerie the way that we get Felicia to that transition to Fantasia. I loved it. I loved Keep It Moving with Halle Bailey. Like, this woman's voice, she's from heaven. She is something remarkable. You know, when she took on Ariel for The Little Mermaid, I was like, I've not paid too much attention to her voice, but there's something that is just so, like, ethereal about it. It's goddess-like. Like, it is crazy how great she is, and I love to see her on here. And I think my biggest surprise with the music was working with Corey Hawkins. My man, let me tell you something. I ain't care nothing about Sophia. I ain't care nothing about Harpo in the old film. In this film, maybe in some instances, it kind of outshines Cilly's story, but, like, there was something that these actors were lending to these characters that just did it for me. And his working performance, man, that for me is best supporting acting nom worthy. Like, for real, for real. And I love it. And then also with the songs, and you have the score, the soundtrack is a banger. Usher, Her, Risk It All, yo, like, it is so fun. It makes you feel good. And it's crazy because I never felt good with the original film. Not because it was a bad film. It's such a heavy film. But I think that the director, Blitz Bazzaouli, like, he found a way to be able to take the best of both worlds, to what was done on the stage production, to be able to find a middle ground with the OG original film and still make it its own. It's a different look and feel from the original. And if you're not familiar with the stage show, I don't think that you're missing anything. If anything, I feel like the editing sometimes can hinder the experience if you're unfamiliar with the stage production. Because I felt like that this was the original Color Purple story, but just like on 1.5 speed, right? And that's fine because I think it gets at the core of what this is and finds special moments, particularly through the performances, to sell particularly the thematic resonance of what makes this story so necessary. And the look of it, this feels lighter, less somber, but it still feels like the South and what it was hard, the plight of being Black during that time. It wasn't glossy. And I think it was still very much cinematic. And I think that there was a good balance between the narrative drama and the surreal elements. And sometimes, because of the editing, I will say it was a bit abrupt transition between the two, but at other times it worked really well. I mean, yes, the story does move fast, and it does feel that this story, while this is Cilly's story, it's making room for the rest of the ensembles. And I think you can expect that because this is a cast full of movie stars in a lot of different respects. And man, I never thought that I cared so much about Harpo and Sophia, but that really just goes to the testament of the strength of performance between Corey Hawkins and Danielle Brooks. And of course, you got Taraji P. Henson. She's playing Suge Avery, and she brings some dynamicism to that character, which you felt scratching the surface in the original. But here, it was prominent. And I think the triangle between Suge and Cilly and Mr. Colman Domingo's Mr., he's not as dastardly as Danny Glover. And he plays him with a bit humanity that you're hoping for, but it doesn't apologize for all the downright shitty things that he does to the people around him. And you see where it comes from, his ain't shit father, played by Lou Gossett Jr. And man, it's crazy because there's so much of this film that was foundational to like how I interpreted movies. And dealing with this now as a grown man, it's recontextualizing a lot of things for me. And I like that. I like the fact that it's a story that can be for a different generation and still hold so many of the penchants of what it was like to be this woman who was cast out, who was diminished, who was devalued, who was abused, used, and you still feel for her. You still want the best for her. And it doesn't seem like it's ever going to get better until it does. And it wasn't because it was handed for her. It's because she made something of herself. And seeing her reconnect with her sister, like that, there's nothing that can downplay that. It's a beautiful, it's a really beautiful film. And it's familiar. And I think that familiarity, especially during this time of the holidays, that's what you want to keep close. You know, it doesn't switch up anything. And I think it makes a lot of room for something great. And ultimately, I think there's a lot of tears to be shed. I think there's a lot of people to be seen. This is a proud film. You can see the pride in front of the camera, behind the camera, the way that they're marketing this film. And then see the really special moments of having some of the old actors and actresses appear, even cameos in this film. And I'm not going to spoil anything. There's one surprise that was a little jarring, but I think it's to the credit of that person's star power. But having Whoopi Goldberg in this film and kind of spiritually hand the baton to Fantasia and Felicia, it was fantastic. And it's just worked for me. I think being in a specific auditorium with people who look like me and people who look like them on screen, that's something that is special. It's a kind of special that we felt with Disney and the Marvel's Black Panther. And this is a celebration. And it's such a different feeling from the original film that, like, while I wasn't expecting it, I'm so glad that I got this. This was the cinematic Negro spiritual that we've been waiting for. I think it's soul-stirring. It's heart-gripping. It's a musical that pays tribute to the Black American experience and has exceptionally crafted songs. I'm telling you, go check Spotify, Apple Music, wherever. Go listen to this music. It's a bop. And the songs are anchored to powerful performances. And I think that this really is a testament to just our tribulation, our tenderness, our faithfulness, ultimately our triumph. The Kobe Tobey rating for The Color Purple is a 9 out of 10. This is directed by Blitzbot's Wally. It is written by Marcus Gardley. Based on the story by Alice Walker, musical by Marsha Norman. It is starring Fantasia Barrino, Taraji P. Henson, Danielle Brooks, Coleman Domingo, Corey Hawkins, Felicia Pearl Mbasi, Halle Bailey. Her, which I didn't know her real name, is Gabriella Wilson as Squeaks. David Alan Greer, yes, oh, totally forgot to talk about David Alan Greer as the pastor, Suge's daddy. Great job, and so was Dion Cole inside this film. John Batiste is in it, Louis Gossett Jr., Tamla J. Mann, and Anjanue Ellis Taylor. It is now playing in theaters everywhere. Well, that'll do it for this one. Can't wait to get to the next one. Until then, like, subscribe, comment, and share. I'm going to keep them coming as this holiday season, award season, keeps your boy busy. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. So many more pods to come. And once again, thanks for rocking with me. And remember, when they ask you where you heard it from, tell them Kobe told me. Peace.